Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. An Oregon man missing in Wrangell St. Elias National Park for nearly a month has been found dead. A National Park Service post says search and rescue personnel located what they believe to be the body of 34-year-old Nick Larson Wednesday in the Nezina River. The body has been sent to the state medical examiner. The agency says Larson was an experienced hiker who was last seen in the village of McCarthy August 5th, where he told others at the McCarthy Lodge he planned to take a solo backpacking trip. A backcountry search turned up no signs of Larson and was halted until Larson's backpack was found in the river Monday, narrowing the search area. The Park Service statement offers condolences to Larson's family and thanks to the many people it says assisted in efforts to find him. Governor Bill Walker is calling the legislature back for a fourth special session. Alaska Public Media reports that the session, which convenes October 23rd in Juneau, will be primarily focused on revenue. In announcing the session yesterday, Walker did not say what revenue options will be on the agenda. Walker says in a statement, quote, "We cannot continue to rely on the volatility of oil prices to fund classrooms, roads, and troopers," end quote. Members of the mostly Democratic House majority say they're willing to consider what Walker proposes, but the Republican-led Senate majority may be more skeptical. Anchorage Republican Senator Kevin Meyer says lawmakers should first determine if there's a consensus on revenue before justifying the expense of another session in Juneau. He noted that the Senate voted 15-4 in May against an income tax passed by the House.
I actually would hope that maybe we can meet in Anchorage prior to the special session and just see whatever the governor's proposing as far as a tax bill, if that's truly what it is, and just see if there is enough interest or consensus to justify flying us all down there and paying us per diem.
Governor Walker says he and his team will work with lawmakers to narrow the focus on revenue options. The Red Cross is mobilizing volunteers nationwide, including in Alaska, to assist with the response to Tropical Storm Harvey caused flooding in and around Houston, Texas.
This is a disaster on the same scale as Katrina.
Far north in interior Alaska, District Red Cross Director Lori Wilson is referring to Hurricane Katrina of August 2005, which drew 200 Alaskans to Louisiana to help with flood rescue and recovery. That's nearly all the volunteers the Red Cross currently has in Alaska. Wilson says a few Alaskans are already heading to Texas, with more going south on a daily basis.
The biggest thing that they're calling for is nurses, mental health, and shelter workers. We are getting calls from professionals. We have about four or five nurses that we've sent from the state. I have about three nurses here locally that are working on going into the next wave, and then more people calling in as well.
The Red Cross is holding trainings in Fairbanks, Anchorage, and Juneau to get volunteers ready to deploy to Houston-area flood refugee shelters. She says that includes a course for new volunteers to learn the basics.
How we run our shelters, what we do, what our rules are, make sure the people in the shelter are safe, that their privacy is protected, and that they have what they need.
Wilson emphasizes it takes about 2 weeks for new volunteers to get processed to deploy, cautioning that the generally two-week assignments to Houston will be challenging.
People who are going need to be prepared for being in a very austere situation. You're going to be, it's staff shelters, which is just like the shelters that we have for the people of Houston. So you're not staying in hotels, you're not staying in luxury. It is a disaster situation. So you're going to have to be able to be hardy and roll.
Wilson says that the Red Cross covers all volunteers' travel and expenses while they are deployed. She notes that overwhelming interest in volunteering crashed the Red Cross's application system yesterday, adding that, like after Hurricane Katrina, the immediate response will be followed by a long recovery that the Red Cross will be involved in. The Fairbanks North Star Borough unveils its long-anticipated recycling center today. The project suffered delays as the borough coped with financial and renovation hurdles as it transformed a warehouse into a one-stop recycling hub. KUAC's Robert Hannon has a preview.
Earlier this week, borough carpenters were putting the final touches to several areas on the large warehouse the borough is leasing from the University of Alaska Fairbanks. A ribbon-cutting ceremony is scheduled this morning at 11. Then at noon, the doors open to accept paper, aluminum, and plastic. Recycling manager Sean Huntington points to a mound of mixed paper and explains the kind of material the borough will accept.
So as you can tell, cardboard. Clean, dry, empty. brown paper bags are okay, thick core tubes okay. We don't want styrofoam. We don't want wet, damaged boxes. No waxed boxes and no food contaminants on anything.
Huntington hits this last point several times. He says food can pose health issues and produce a stink. That also goes for plastic bottles. He says the operation will only accept number one and two plastics.
If you can just picture what a typical water bottle is, if it's got a dimple in the middle, 90% chance it's a one. A number two is your typical 1 gallon milk jug. It'll have a seam down the middle of the bottom.
And Huntington says the borough doesn't want caps on the bottles or pumps, common with large liquid laundry containers. As for aluminum, he says no pie tins or aluminum foil.
So right now we're just taking beverage cans only, beer, soda, energy drink cans. You can bring them in crushed or whole.
For years, the Fairbanks Rescue Mission has been a key player in the local recycling effort, and the group will continue to provide staff and equipment for the new operation. Huntington points to a long shed that stands outside the warehouse.
In this shed that actually is recycled, we reused it from the Fairbanks Rescue Mission. There's going to be 6 bins, and we're going to have labels up here to identify what product goes in where.
Electronics will go inside the warehouse in a special room accessible during hours of operation. Huntington says no glass will be accepted now. The economics aren't favorable. And while estimates peg operation costs at more than $500,000 a year, he says the operation will extend the life of the landfill and promises some income as the operation expands. In Fairbanks, I'm Robert Hannon.
And I'm Dan Bross.